is a heaven privilege, a heaven bought privilege. That's why I've said that for years. It is a heaven bought privilege. It's never to be taken lightly, never just to assume that anything will ever be the same way, the same time again in the future. But this day, God has given you. So enjoy it. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to enjoy my meal.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I think it was touched on, I don't know if it was Wednesday night or last Sunday, but I was thinking, as Dad was saying that, about how all the old prophets of old looked forward to these days that we're living in now. Because we're sometimes guilty of saying, oh, how bad things are, and they are. There's a lot of darkness around. But for the church, this is a glorious, glorious time. You know, John the Beloved, who was Jesus's one of, you know, his disciples that Jesus loved so dearly. And, you know, he was the last man standing. You guys know the story. All the disciples had passed away. They'd all died for their faith. And Jesus had been crucified, and he had rose again, and he'd been ascended to the Father. He found himself on an island alone. They tried to kill John, and they couldn't kill him. They couldn't do nothing with him. They tried to poison him, and he wouldn't die. So the only thing they needed to do to him, they had to put him on an island alone. They said, we just can't even do anything with this guy. We just got to get him away from us, because this guy's dangerous. This guy's on fire. So here's this old prophet, old disciple, old man of God, the beloved of Jesus, sitting there alone on an island. Everybody he knew was dead. And Jesus comes and appears one more time and writes in red in the book of Revelation. And what John saw was a future time coming. But do you realize part of what he saw is what we're doing right now, what we're walking in right now? Can you imagine what that would have been like on that island, that kind of condition, and look in the future and say the glorious times that we're living in? You imagine the envy in a way, and I don't mean like a bad envy, like a jealousy, but I'm talking about the envy in his heart saying, oh, what it would be like to be in that time when the latter rain comes down. Oh, what a glorious time. They look forward to this time. That's what we're walking in. So today we're celebrating. Today we're happy. Today, no matter what our circumstance is, this is the greatest time for a Christian to be alive in the history of the world. We are blessed, church. We are blessed to be a part of it. Every day we should thank God that we live in this time. This time. This is your time. This is the church's time. This is his time. This is your family's time. This is your community's time. Did you know that when you got up this morning, when the snooze button hit, that this is your time? This is time to get up. This is time to rock the world. This is time to preach the gospel. This is time to get along. This is time to love one another. And this is time to hear the word. Just get ready to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me ask you this. I'm getting ready to pray. The word's coming. How many in this room believe in God? That's a good place to start. And if you don't, I don't judge you. There was a guy in the ministry in the behind the walls that came a few years ago, and he said it a couple years ago, and said, I don't know if I believe all this. I'm a Muslim. I said, that's fine. I love you. Keep coming to church. Hang out with us. He's preaching the gospel right now of Jesus Christ. So if you couldn't really raise your hand, or if you did it out of just because you didn't want to look weird, that you really don't believe in God, I love you anyway. It'll be all right. Keep coming. God will figure it out. You'll figure it out. But if you believe in God, let me ask you one more question. How many believe that God still does miracles? Now let me ask you, do you really believe that? Do you really? Because some people don't. That's okay. Again, I don't judge you. God will show you one day. That's all right. Keep coming. So you do believe that. Let me ask you one more stretch. How many believe that somewhere on this planet there will be a miracle that God will perform today? How many believe there are probably multiple miracles on this planet that God... Let me ask you another question. How many believes this is a big town? I mean, this is a really tiny town. But there's still 4,000 or 5,000 people. There's still probably 20,000 people in this county, right? Maybe more than that. So there's still, that's a lot of people. It's a little people. It's a lot of people. How many believe that God will do miracles somewhere in this town today? How many believe somewhere in this town there'll be a healing, a miracle day, or more than one miracle? How many believe there'll be people healed today? How many believe there'll be restorations of relationships, whatever relationships, fathers, daughters, mothers, husbands, whatever kind of relationship? How many believe God will do restorations in this county and town today? How many believe God will change things around for some people struggling somewhere in this town today? Your clappings are going down. Does that mean you don't believe as strong, or does that mean I'm just talking too long? How many really believe that? Do you really believe that God will do something like that in this town today? Then as we pray, let me ask you this question. This is the last thing I think I'm going to ask you. If we really believe what we just said, that God's going to do all these awesome things, even in this town today, we're not even talking about like Africa, you know, because we know only God's only alive in Africa, right? I mean, if we really believe that God's going to do everything we said today in this town, then here's the question for each and every one of us in this room. Why not you? Why not today? Why not here? Why not now? Why not? I mean, if we believe all this stuff, why not now? I believe God wants to do that in your life today. Can we pray? Would you touch hands all around this building? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask you right now, Lord, that you start to just till hearts, Lord. Till hearts, Lord. I see a tiller. I see a plow. I see hardened hearts. I see dry dirt, Lord, that's not seen the rain in a long time. That old dry, rocky soil, Lord. I see roots, Lord, of past entanglements and scarring root systems, Lord. But I believe right now, Lord, that your tiller is just going to start to chew that up. Just start to tear all that old stuff up, Lord. To break hard hearts, Lord. To tear up those root systems, Lord, that are choking out, Lord, what the soil's entitled to bring forth. Lord, just tear it up. Tear up our hearts, all of our hearts, Lord. Loosen that soil, Lord. Oh, Lord, that we be fertile ground, Lord. That this word that's getting ready to come forth, Lord, will be planted so deep within us, Lord, that it will be today. It will be now. It will be us. It will be our healing. It will be our restoration. It will be our change of way. It will be our purpose. It will be our passion. It will be our salvation today, Lord. In hearts in this room, Lord, in this place, Lord, we claim, Lord, and we believe, Lord. We believe, Lord. Lord, every religious spirit, you are not welcome here. You are not welcome here. You have no authority over the blood of Jesus. You dealt with this spirit 2,000 years ago and you won. You are already victorious over the religious spirit. The religious spirit couldn't kill you the first time and they won't kill you today. So religious spirit, you are gone from this room. You are banned from this room. You are evicted from this room. You have no legal right in this room and you are gone. Jealous spirit, we evict you from this room. Jezebel spirit, we evict you from this room. Controlling spirit, we evict you from this room. Lord, that no will be done in this room except your will. That it be your Holy Spirit leading the way. It be not man's plan or man's will, but your will done today, Lord. And so, Lord, now as this word comes forth, we're not praying for some strange fire, as someone said. But we are praying for fire. We're praying that, Lord, you just do what you do. You just do what you do in this service, Lord. Lord, you just do what you do. And if it's strange or peculiar to us, so be it. But you do what you do. We'll get used to it, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the miracles that are getting ready to happen. We are expecting. We are believing. And we give you all permission to lead this service. And we thank you in the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Son of God, Yeshua. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus heartfelt praise. Come on, give him heartfelt praise.
feel like saying this for somebody. Your temporary setback is a setup for your comeback. Okay? I believe that. I'm going to need you in a second, Odie, here in a minute, so don't get comfortable, okay? I want you to turn your Bible with me to Deuteronomy chapter. That's a tough one to say. You can't say it 10 times real fast. But it is a powerful book in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. Can you turn back there with me if you have your Bible? It's right after the book of Numbers, okay? Somebody said, well, what is the purpose of all those old books back there? The purpose of the old is to cast light on the new, okay? Jesus is our new thing. At one time, the law and the prophets was the old thing. But at that time, it was the new thing. And then Jesus came to fulfill all the law of the prophets. Jesus became the fulfillment of that. And the New Testament was written. The Old Testament is a foreshadowing of what God is doing in the new. There are people who try to extract the Old Testament and says we don't need it anymore. We need the Old Testament because it's like our schoolmaster. It teaches us and it points us to a more perfect way, a new thing. How many knows that God wants to do something new in your life in this year? Okay. I believe that. So Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6, okay? And I'll tell you, this may not sound like it's going to make sense, but, and then, Becky, there is a mountain, a picture of a mountain, please. I thank you for all those and for hustling up there and getting all those images. And the people who work up there do an awesome job. And, man, wasn't the worship awesome this morning? Wasn't that worship awesome? Wasn't it on there? Okay. I thought so. Okay, verse 6. The Lord our God spoke to us, and this is Moses speaking, at Horeb. Now, another word for Horeb is Mount Sinai. They're the same place, okay? And in the there's all kinds of famous mountains in the Bible, and there's all kinds of famous mountains in the world today that are really, they stand out. They stand out, not because of just historical significance, because being the wonder of the world that they are, the amazement of people for years. Mountains have always amazed me. How about you? They're hard to climb. They're difficult to climb, but they all serve a powerful purpose. So we're talking about, Moses is talking about Mount Horeb here, or Mount Sinai. You have dwelt, he says, let me go back up and get it. The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, Mount Sinai, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. You've been here long enough, Moses. I'm going to tell you why that's significant just in a minute. The Lord's going to tell you. He says, turn and take your journey. Now, and once some translation, it says, turn and go northward. Move up. North is sort of considered up, right? Hello, everybody with me? Surely you're not going to sleep already. We've got problems if you've already gone to sleep. Okay, so it's time to move up. Turn to somebody and say, it's time for me to move up. Somebody say, I don't need to move up. You're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. If you don't need to move up, if you don't have room to move up, you're in a bad place. That is not the place you want to be in. There's always room to move up. There's always slack. He said, so you've dwelt here long enough. Now take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places, and the plain of the mountains and the lowland in the south, and the seacoast to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. So listen, I have set the land before you. That land was opportunity. The land of promise. Potential. How many knows that potential is ahead of you? Oh, Jesus, help us. The promise is in front of you. The promise, you hold on to the promise, but you're pursuing the one that holds the promise in his hands. The promise is in front of you. The promise is out there. This is no time to quit. This is no time to lay back. This is the time to move up and move out and go forward. Amen? To move up. Everybody shout, move up. He said, go possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give all them and to their descendants after them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's another scripture found in the book of Deuteronomy, again, chapter 2, referring to the same thing. And the Lord spoke to me again, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Now turn northward. You've danced around this same mountain and walked around this same mountain long enough. I'm going to tell you, some of you, are you looking at me right now? Are you looking at me? Some of you have been walking around the same mountain for a long time, doing the same things the same way. And every day you're saying, God, why am I like I am? Why am I having problems and difficulties like I am? Why am I struggling so much with this same stuff? It's because you've been walking around that mountain long enough. God says, it's time for you to get up, break camp, and go northward. It's time for you to move up. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to move up. I'm going to move up the mountain. Amen. I'm going to move out of this place. And I'm going to go to a new place. Amen. How many knows that God has a new place for you? A new place. A land you may be seated that flows with milk and honey. A land that is blessed. A land that is blessed. A land that's blessed beyond your imagination. A land that is blessed. A land that God's hand is on. A land that God's fingerprint is on. God has destined your life. Jeremiah 29, he says, I know the plans I have for you, the Lord says, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Doesn't matter how dismal your current situation is. God says, I've got a new place, a new land. I've got a new thing that I'm going to do in your life. Amen. Do you believe that? Shout yes. I'm going to mess with you because I need you to get in here with me. Okay? Everybody say, move up. Move up. We've camped around this mountain long enough. We'll always have what we've always had if we always do what we've always done. If all you've had, you'll say, well, I don't understand why I struggle so with addiction and dysfunction. It's because you're always doing what you've always done. God says today is your day, your year, to do something different, to make a place in this life for your future, because God wants to do something new in your life. I believe that. I believe that. You know what? We can do something and create a rut. We can dig out a rut for our life. You know what a rut is? You know, it's going in the same track, the same place, the same track, and never using anything else. You know what? Cows are notorious for digging ruts. If you look on the side of the hill where pasture land is, where cows are, you can tell everywhere a cow has walked, because there's a rut and a dry, there's a rut and a place, a path carved all around those mountains. Looks like markings, and people have just marked all over the hillside, because the cows have taken the same path to get to the barn every day. God says, I'm going to do something different in your life. In order for me to do something different, you've got to let go of what you've done yesterday. You'll never have tomorrow if you hold on to today. You'll never have tomorrow if you hold on to the past. God says today it's time to kick your past off the boat. You got a good foot, Billy? Come on, you got a good foot? Okay, I want you to kick the past. I want you to kick the past. That means the heartaches. That means the troubles. That means the struggles. That means the disappointments. That means all the hurt, all that thing. God says, today, Billy, I'm going to do something new in your life this year. I'm going to do something new in your life this year. The former things are gone. Behold, I will make all things new. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Somebody getting a hold of it. Somebody getting a hold of it. Somebody getting a hold of it. Turn to somebody and say, I got to get a hold of it. The meter's running. The meter's running. If you're not careful, you'll let it go. And you'll grab a hold of it today. So I don't know which foot is her strong foot. But Sister Billy, you're going to give a kick to yesterday. I want you to kick it like it's on the edge of the boat. Bye. Bye, yesterday. Bye, yesterday. Bye, yesterday. Bye, yesterday. I dare you. Some of you all looking sophisticated and all together this morning. I dare you right now to get up out of your seat. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Come on. What are you waiting on? Where's your strong foot? I want you to putt yesterday off the boat. I want you to putt. You know what punting is? You're a good punter. You're not. You're a runner. You're a runner. You're not a punter. Reggie, are you a punter? No, you're not a punter. Lorenzo, you a punter? Okay, you a punter? Listen, I want you to putt yesterday. I want you to drop kick it off. And with it, all of your disappointments, all of your frustrations. Some of you say, well, it's not that easy, Pastor R. It's not that easy. It's easy. It's easy if you put it in God's hand and you follow God's plan. God's got a new plan for you this year. Follow His plan. Are you ready on the count of three? I want there are more yesterdays punted out of this room that the city police in the city of Norton say, what are all those things flying out of this building up here? It's not smoke. It must be yesterday's hurt. It must be yesterday's disappointment. It must be yesterday's frustration. Right now, count three, I want you to punt it. Billy, I want you to punt it. I want you to punt it. You got one strong leg, I know, brother. Are you ready? One, two, three, punt it! Darren, you didn't even punt. I'm not letting you go. Come on, come on. I can do that. Listen, on the count of three, I want you to punt. What, you think I'm playing a game or something? One, two, three, punt. Amen. Way to go, Reggie. Way to go. That's a word. That's a word. If you can, sit down. If you don't want to, that's fine. We're just starting. And Kevin, we're going to pray for Mamaw. Yesterday calls you pain. There's a lot of good things about yesterday. Can I say something? This Mount Horeb put the mountain back up, Becky, again. It wasn't a bad place at first. It wasn't a bad place. Can I say something to you? They camped there for 1 year. It was never in God's schedule or his agenda for the children of Israel to stay in one place 1 year. The problem is, if you stay in one place more often, more time than what God has assigned to you, then you'll create a rut. And you know what a rut is? Someone told Kathy a long time ago, tell us, Pastor Kathy, what a rut is.
A grave with the ends knocked out.
A rut is just a grave with the ends knocked out. How many knows you don't want to dwell in your land, in your rut, in your grave? It's time for you to come up out of your rut and go forward. Move up. So it wasn't initially, this is where God brought them. So let me tell you real briefly and real quickly why it was a good place. It was there that God gave the commandments to Moses. These bunch of knuckleheads needed law and order. Of course, I know that we don't ever need things like that because our lives are all together, right? We don't need order, nor need do we need God's word. But God knew that the children of Israel needed order. There was no order in their lives because they had dwelled in a foreign land. There was no sense of who God was, even though they've heard of him. They heard him by the way of Moses, but Moses extracts them, brings out a people who is difficult to move, and bring them to a mountain called Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. And there God gave a powerful thing to the children of Israel. He gave them the commandments, the law of the commandments. How many remembers Charlton Heston going up on that mountain? Come on. Gabby, you never watched the Ten Commandments before? You've never. Okay, wow. Henry, connect her to the Ten Commandments Easter time. It comes on every Easter. How many knows that there's some things that we need to watch and know more than one time a year? Okay? They received the law. They received the commandments, which was a good thing. It kept them in order. Also, God made his presence known by the activity that took place on top of that mountain. God descended on that mountain in the form of fire and smoke. Moses would go up to that mountain to talk to God, and he'd come back so glorious and so enlightened by the presence of God that he shone, and they had to put a veil over his head because he was so in the presence of God on this mountain. Can I tell you another name for this mountain? They call it the Mountain of God. The children of Israel feared this mountain. Not only did they respect it, but they feared it because they didn't want to get too far, too close to it, because they thought it would surely mean death and destruction. But God communicated to his servant Moses and to the children of Israel through Moses from this mountain. It's an important mountain. It's a thing to remember. There are things in our life we need to hallmark and we need to remember. We need to remember the day we got saved. Oh, do you think that's worthy to remember? The day you found them. How many knows that's worthy of your recollection? That's worthy of your remembrance. Sure it is. Now, some of us may not remember the exact hour, the exact moment, but you know that a decision was made and your life was changed. It's good to remember that. It's good to remember that you were baptized. The day you were baptized. If you haven't been, you need to be. It's good to remember those powerful events. It's good to remember different things that happen in our life as we go through our Christian journey. But God doesn't create nor carve out those things for us to wrap our mind around and stay in that one place. You see, God expects me to move ahead from where I was when I first gave my life to Jesus. How many knows that? We can't stay children all of our life. How many know that? Sooner or later, Paul says, you've got to grow up. And when you grow up, you put childish things away from you. You've got to move ahead. You've got to move up from the child that you were. And you start growing in your faith. That's moving up from where you were. That's moving up. I remember that growing throughout my Christian journey. Growing, God never intended me to stay or memorialize a one certain place and say, look how good it was, but look how bad it is now. No, that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. It was good then probably, but guess what? It's better ahead. Well, Pastor R, how could it be better in all of my grief? Let me tell you, you're going to see Jacob again one day. You're going to see him under a whole different set of circumstances in a land where there's no death nor dying, a land where there's no heartache, there's no disappointment. Guess what? There's no even funeral homes. There's no fire departments. There's no police force there. You know why? Because Jesus is the light of that city. He is the hope of that place. Amen. Guess what? He's there. You're going to see him. That's why today, Kim, there's all this looking forward to. Everybody say, I'm looking forward. You see, a Christian is not a loser. We're a winner. Oh, you say, well, but I feel like I'm losing a lot lately. No, you're not. Quit letting the devil speak in your mind and telling you you're losing. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Amen. You know why? On your worst day, you're a winner. And if death grabs you today, guess what? The devil did you a favor. Oh, some of you right now are struggling. You know why? Because you're holding on to something you need to let go of. God says this is your year to let go. This is your year to move up, to let go, to move away from this mountain. They camped there for 1 year. That's way too long. And if you stay in the same place, you create a grave. You create a dark place. How many's ever heard this before? We're often creatures of habit. Oh, man. Three or four people. Lord Jesus, help me this morning awaken these people. How many's ever heard this saying? You're a creature of habit. That means you're comfortable doing the same thing. The same thing. Because you get comfortable with it. We can get comfortable with bad stuff. Not just the good stuff. We can get comfortable in our dysfunction. Did you find that picture, Beck, of the bridge? Okay, well, some of you are going to know what I'm talking about. I think Heath used it one time. This is a powerful reflection of real truth. Visiting the bridge is a community of homeless people who have made their abode under an interstate bridge in Knoxville. And many of these people, we've been going there for years. Sad to say that many of these people are still there. They've never moved up. They've never moved forward. Well, somebody said, well, maybe they can't do anything any better. Maybe not. All I'm saying is we saw a sight down there one day that really resonated and spoke out to us. That place has graduated. It graduated from a place of despair, people spread out and then coming together to a conglomeration of a shanty town. How many has ever heard of a shanty town? A shanty town in the 1929 or 1930s, the Great Depression, was a a civilization, a community of homeless people who had been out of their homes and broke, and they had no place to go. And so they built little homes and communities out of cardboard or whatever they could in communities close to railroad tracks or wherever. It became their comfort zone. It became their place of comfort because they were familiar with that, because they didn't have anything else but each other's brokenness. Listen, if all you've got is somebody else's brokenness, then you need to let go of the somebody. You can get comfortable in your relationship, and your relationship may not be what God wants you to do or what God wants you to be about, but you can be there so long that you become comfortable with it because you see no need to move up and move forward. And God says eventually that will be a place that will take you out. It will be a place where you'll die. God didn't create a valley for you to die in. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Lord is with you. The Lord said, David, I am with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this morning we can get comfortable. And so at the bridge, what happened is we went under the bridge, and there were people there who had already made homes, makeshift homes. They had bags and boxes and couches and chairs and lamps, books. They had libraries set up, and they were sitting there shooting up. Shooting up. Shooting up. Miserable in one light, but comfortable enough in their dysfunction to stay there. God says, I don't want you to stay there. You've been in that mountain long enough. This year, you're going to go forward. It's time to move out and move up. Amen. Oh, let me tell you. So when we become comfortable, it creates something in our life we often hear about, a place of apathy where we lose interest and we lose enthusiasm or concern. And we're just as comfortable staying there because we don't want the energy it takes to create something different moving ahead. So we stay there in our dysfunction. And people end up dying there in their dysfunction. They get complacent. They become self-satisfied and content where they are. Often combined with a lack of an awareness of an impending trouble. Listen, complacency is a dangerous place to be in, my friend. This is no time to be asleep. This is no time to lay your armor down. This is no time to move up or move back. This is no time to camp out in your dysfunction or misery. God says, I made a way out of your wilderness today. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Jesus. Jesus is your ticket. Amen. I'm going to get a ticket and I'm going to get out of this old town. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, and there may be a time that that could be a thing that someone has to do. I don't know, between you and God. Somebody said, well, if I just change churches, change landscapes, things will be different. Not if you still are in your place of dysfunction. All you're being is Goldilocks looking for a house and of something comfortable that's just right. And you'll never find the just right until you find the right. Amen. His name is Jesus. I heard somebody say one time, that old brother been baptized so many times, every crawdad in the creek knows him by name. And there are some people that's belonged to so many churches over the years. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I'm infringing on personal space here. God says that's not your answer. Jesus is your answer. If you can't find the fire here, guess what? You'll never find it anywhere else. Isn't it strange that when people come in here all the time, they share with me through the week, "Whoo, Pastor, I walked in the door, that fire hit me, that love hit me, that word hit me. I sat there and I couldn't do anything but weep and cry. I couldn't do anything but rejoice." In that same thing, that same spirit, that same Jesus, that same fire that's here, that touched somebody else's life, is now putting you asleep. Come on. Oh! Well, if I only had another pastor, another preacher, or if we only had something else, different praise, different worship, something else. No, 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 no. No, that will never answer. The problem lies within you because you've not moved forward. Come on, help me out. Help me out. In your heart of hearts, you know the Lord is telling you facts right now. The answer is Jesus. The answer is answering the call and moving up from this mountain. Moving up. We can actually sit down in our blessings. What do you mean, Pastor? That means we can get used to the blessings. The thing that used to move us is the thing now that we're sitting there. When's this going to get over with? When's this going to get over with? The same thing that rocked your heart and rocked your life before Jesus is now something that you're sort of sitting in and become complacent in. You become comfortable to the point of numb. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that's a time for you to make reflection and inventory. Isn't that what they do at the end of the year? We're not at the end of the year, we're in the beginning of the new year. So that means inventory is past due. Inventory is past due. And it's strange, the thing that don't move us moves many. People respond every week to the powerful gospel. People pour out their hearts before Jesus. People communicate to us all the time, "Pastor, I've never sensed such a powerful place and been in such a powerful place." But when we lose grip of that power and that anointing, that's not God's fault. That's not a preacher's fault. Oh, I know you get quiet on me sooner or later. I knew you'd get quiet on me right here. Listen, I need this word because pastors and preachers can get comfortable and go to sleep themselves. The man of God from the pulpit can put you to sleep. So today, I'm not being condescending. I'm not trying to be strong and flesh and trying to say something out of the flesh, in the flesh, or out of the will of God. But we can sit down in our blessings and be satisfied, and which it can be a very dangerous place. We can get used to the blessing, We can get used to the blessing. We can be comfortable. But God says, and listen, the children of Israel become comfortable around that mountain. That's why they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay. They wanted to camp there as long as they could. Because the mountain reminded them of God. It reminded them of God. Moses said, no, we're going to go further in the wilderness because there's a land out there. Oh, no, Moses, you're not taking us on another wild goose chase, are you? Listen, oh, it'd been better. This is what they said. It'd been better if we'd stayed in Egypt. At least we were comfortable there. At least, yeah, we were dying as slaves, but at least we had turnips and I don't know what they had there. Now, garlics and different things that they grew in Egypt. The word says they knew and realized that they had that stuff. And they were more about turning and going back than they were about going forward. God says today, Israel, God says for you to move from this mountain and move forward in your faith in 2020. Move forward in your prayer life. Move forward in your time with God. Move forward in the Word of God. Don't just depend upon the man of God or the teacher of the Word of God to instruct you. Depend upon the Holy Spirit to instruct you mainly and pour into you. And He will use a man of God. He can use a man of God. But depend upon your relationship with God to get you to the next level. Can somebody say amen? Now I feel like I'm in a place that I'm fishing for amens. Oh, I shouldn't have to. This word should explode and resonate so much in your heart that actually you shout me down. You shout me down. I can't preach over your voices. I can't preach over your expectations. I can't preach over your excitement. Amen? Have you ever been in a classroom like that? The kids get so excited and the teacher just puts the chalk in their pocket and stands back against the wall and just starts hooping and hollering with them. I've been there. I've been there. How about you? Is there anybody here excited about the next level? Oh, get ready because, oh, we think we've been on an adventure yet. Listen, I tell this in the authority of God's word. If I've ever shared a word with you over all these years, this is a word. Now, I don't know what you'll do with that word. It can be like water on a duck's back. Don't make fun of me. That's what we do a lot of times. When the word goes out and it falls on our heart, we'll sit there and just shake it off. Instead of shaking it off, open your heart and say, God, I needed that word. I need to go from this mountain. I need to go to the next level in my faith. I'm tired of this mountain. I'm tired. Where are you today? You know, Jesus took his disciples on one of the greatest journeys in their ministry. He took them in Matthew 17 up to a mountain, and it was called the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, and things that they heard and saw. They saw Moses and Elijah there, which represented the law and the prophets. And what Jesus was saying here, guys, the law and the prophets is not going to fulfill what I have come to do. from this day forward, when we come off of this mountain, it's going to be all steam ahead. It's going to be all engines forward. We're going to walk into a new level. We're going to walk into a greater dimension of ministry. You're not going to be who you were, because God said, I'm doing something new in your life. Forget about the past. Forget about the hurt. Forget about the past. Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me. Some of them weren't necessarily all bad, but we can't hang on. We can't be bone collectors. We can't be relic collectors. We're good at that. We're good at that. Listen, I'm good at trying to collect things. Ask Mrs. R. She'll amen loudest in here right here today. I like to collect old things, Trey. And I'll go around, Hannah Beth. And you know, I've got, when I go up my upstairs, it's like going back memory lane. I've got dolls. Thank you, Billy. I've got dolls. I've got World War II relics. I've got old guns. I've got old hats. I've got memorabilia. And every time I go up there and sit down, I just go down memory lane. And I look at what a past life in the life of my family was all about. And that was a good thing. You know what? It was hard for me to let go of my mom and dad. It was hard for me to let go of our parents and Kathy's parents. It was hard. And for years, I tried to get the best comfort I could of holding on to what they had as a remembrance, as a reminder of how blessed that was. And it was. Thank God for it. Amen. How many thank God for good things back then? Come on. Come on. How many has got some good memories back there? But that's yesterday. Melody, that's yesterday. I pastored in a church years ago. That was yesterday. I think of these friends, these old friends, and most of them have died and gone on. I preached to their funerals. I've married their kin. I baptized their folks. I have a lot of memories etched up in that little hill, that little church up on the hill. I remember that. I remember that. I remember the old church here, Cornerstone at first, at the old place in Stephen, and how it was. I remember some of these old people. I remember Sister Juanita. I remember the night, Willie, we talking about that the other day, that Sister Betty and Juanita and Willie had them a Holy Ghost hoedown that night. I remember the night that the Lord fell in that place that Sunday evening and hit them, and they were dancing in the Spirit, dancing and praying in the Spirit. Do you remember that, Brother Billy? That was a powerful memory. But you know what? That was yesterday. Guess what? There's more glory ahead. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. There's more glory ahead. I cannot build a memorial in my yesterday's blessings. I can't. That's what Jesus, the heavens opened up and they came down, and the glory of God descended upon that mountain with Jesus and his disciples, Peter, James, and John. They were so moved by it. This is what they said. Let's build a church. Woo. You think I'm kidding? That's what they said. Let's build a memorial right here and let's stay. Let's don't leave this mountain. How many know sooner or later you're going to have to leave the mountain and you're going to have to go through the valley. You're going to have to meet the devil. You're going to have to fight a battle. You're going to have to fight a war. But this one thing for sure, wherever you go, God says, I'll be with you. Every battle, every fight, God says, I'll be with you. Are you getting this about right now? A few of you are. Okay, the longer you don't get it, the longer I stay. I'm just kidding. I'm about run out of tank. Come here, Odie. We can camp out in our blessings. Cornerstone was awesome. God did things there. And for the very few remaining people that was a part of that traditional first church, Becky up there is one of them. Good things up there, Becky. Can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, there's some good things back there. But that's not where we are today. This is a new day. This is a, oh yeah. We're moving on. Guess what? Next year we're going to be moving on. At the end of next year, guess what? We're going to be moving on. Yeah.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. Moving on up to what? I forgot the next line. To the what? I'm sorry. To the east side? To the east side? Is that what they said? I don't know. The east side must be the best side. I don't know. But guess what? We're moving up to the north side. We're moving on up. We're moving up. We're moving to God's country. We're moving ahead. We're moving into the land. And we're going to face giants. We've faced them before. You think we asked for this building to be taken out over there? But guess what? The devil tried to burn us out. But guess what? We're still standing. We're still worshiping. We're still praising God. We're still doing body and soul. Help me out, Selena. Help me out. Woo! Because if you're moving out and following God, doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. And they wanted to build a church there. Let's make a shrine here, Jesus. Then Jesus revealed his glory. Oh man, they become so moved by it. What happened in that transfiguration was transformation. A change happened. With every time we move forward, there's powerful change that happens. God never saved you to keep you in one place in your life, in your spirit. He never saved you. Be like that baby that one preacher, evangelist, decades ago went down to the city of New York and he saw a baby coming down. He loved babies. He looked into that baby carriage and he saw a deformed infant. It was a 30-year-old infant laying in that carriage with a man's head, but a baby's body. And what I'm saying is this. It threw him back. Because our life is about progress. It's about forward. It's about moving forward. It's about moving forward in our faith. It's about moving forward in our relationship with God. Moving forward in your praise. If your level of praise is the same level that you were when you got saved, you're not moving forward. Hello? You can get mad at me for saying that. So be it. I'm saying, if you're at the same level in the Word that you were when you first got saved, something is lacking. That means God's people have always got to be moving because God is moving. Amen. You move with God, you move. You move with God, you move. Mona, you move with God, you move. So, Odie, I didn't bring Odie up there to make a shrine out of Odie. But I will say one thing. He has moved my heart this week. And I've heard, you know, the regret that I hear from most people who come to Jesus and gave their life to Jesus. You know what I hear mostly from people who... They say, well, what regret could you have by coming to Jesus? This is the regret that I hear, that I didn't do it sooner. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? The only regret I have, Pastor, is that I could have bypassed all that crazy in my life and gave my life to Jesus back years ago. How many is with me? How many bears witness? I wish I had done it years ago. Oh, there's never regret in following Jesus. We can get in a place, and Odie said it so beautifully the other night. And I'm just going to let him share just a moment of that. And the question I'm going to ask you this morning is, where are you today? Right now, in 2020, January the 11th, is it the 11th? Oh, shoot. Oh, goodness sakes. Lord Jesus, help me. All right, keep moving. Today is the 12th, okay. Have the place you are now, have you been there too long? You've been in the state of worry so long that worry becomes your safe haven. It's more comfortable to worry about it than to trust God with it. I've been there. Are you a worrier? Or are you a warrior? Warriors can worry, by the way. But I'm saying, have you been in a state of worry too long? Have you been in a state of depression and too long? Have you been in a state of loneliness too long? Have you been in a state of dysfunction, maybe addiction? So far that thing that we're in identifies us. It becomes our identity. It becomes who we are. It becomes a part of us. I've actually heard people say, I've sort of talked to them, and they say, Pastor Art, that's just who I am. That's not who you are. That's not who Jesus wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be a worrier. Take no thought of tomorrow. God's going to take care of tomorrow. You know why? Because he's taking care of you today. Can somebody shout amen? Have you been in a real negative relationship so long? And I've heard people tell me recently, Pastor, that relationship's killing me. Let it go. Who was the Disney character, the Frosty girl? What was her name? Let her go. What was her name? Elsa. Let it go. Everybody shout, let it go. Let your worry go. You kicked it off the boat, Jody. Oh, Jesus. Have you hovered around fear long enough? Fear is always the obstacle in you moving forward. Every time you move forward, something hits you. You become afraid and you step back. Is that where you are today? Have you rested in the safety of your comfort zone? There are people today satisfied where they are. They see no place to move forward. You challenge them to worship more, to praise more, to be in the Word more, and they just somehow be resistant to that. And you wonder why you're in the same place you were that you were years ago. God challenged me several years ago. He sent me to a place that I wasn't comfortable with. And he extracted from me. He poured into me. Man, he got me out of my comfort zone. Listen, I've been around people who were just filled with the Spirit and been around things like that a lot through ministry. And I'd let other preachers come in from denominations and preached. We are often criticized for that. But it happened, and I was around those kinds of things. And it wasn't that, but one of the first worship services we were at our old church, this lady, the power of the Lord hit her, and she had long hair. I bet her hair was down here somewhere. And her hair became like that. These flags they fly here at the church. I never seen somebody move their head quite like that in all my life. And her hair became an expression of praise. You know, I could have sat back and criticized that and said, why, law, I've never seen anything like that, and put my hands in my pocket and walk out, even though I didn't understand it, but somehow it messed with me, and I knew there was something up there ahead. Maybe I wasn't going to wag my head like that, but I knew there was something more up the road. How many know there's something more up the road? You remember some of those services, Miss Selena, when you was a young girl and your family went there too. Do we want to move forward? Do we want to be more? Do we want to praise more? Do we want to worship more? Do we want to be about the word more? This is your year. Don't wait till next year. This is your year. This is your day. Right now. Somebody say right now. And so, can I be transparent, Odie? Because I know you will be, okay? I've been worried about him for a while. And I mess with people when I get worried about them. I holler at them. I intercept them when they're coming in. I look in their eyes. And I say, where are you? And Odie will tell you, he's been faithful. He doesn't miss, very seldom does he ever miss church. But he came and tell us in a nutshell sort of where you had gotten spiritually, Odie.
Well, disengaged, you know.
Disengaged.
I was. Okay.
You come and you expect me to fire you up. Yeah.
U-string.
When actually, all right, go ahead.
But we need U-string. You tell Mike.
Okay. But actually, when you come, you ought to fire me up. I'm so hungry, Pastor. I'm so hungry. I couldn't wait to get here today. So you had disengaged.
Disengaged. I felt like my desire was here. It used to be up here.
Right.
Yeah.
Real.
He used to come and stand in the congregation at the old church. He couldn't talk for crying, for weeping, broken. And sharing a powerful testimony and word. His mom was saved today, the day that he shared a big, powerful testimony. Do you remember that, some of you? His mom came forward and gave her life to Jesus because she heard her own fire son declare a word to her heart. Woo! Yeah. Go ahead, man. You're doing good. It makes a difference when you get some fire down in here. Life will pull you out. Life will extract you from the glory. Problems, worry, discouragement. Dysfunction will distract you from the reality of what God wants you to do. And God says today it's time to move from this mountain and move up. Amen. Amen. You already moved up. You already moving up. Oh, I feel it. Hmm. didn't know he told you that.
You know.
Yes.
It was clear.
Right.
And I'm just going to go ahead and share it against Pastor. So this week, earlier this week, people sent a Facebook post. I'm sure if you don't have me on Facebook, you know, you did see it, I guess. But everybody that's here Wednesday probably heard a little bit. But I get a message from my cousin, or at least his girlfriend. I just got really loud. Telling me that he wanted to get saved. Right?
Oh.
So I get this message.
Listen.
And I read it, and I'm like, is this real life? Is this happening? What do I do? I'm freaking out. Because he's family. And you know how awkward that could be, right? I mean, if you're trying to share Jesus and talk to them, it's just more difficult. It's awkward. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I start kind of just reading a little bit, right? I'm just like, okay, I got to get prepared for this. I got to make sure, you know, I got to make sure the Holy Spirit's in it. And she's like, you need to call him. I'm like, okay. So I'm calling him, talking to him. You know, I'm just like, hey, man, you know, what's up? Is everything good? And he asked me what his girlfriend said, right? So I'm like, well, man,
she said I want to get saved, right?
She said, you know, you want to get saved, and you want to go move forward with this, and you don't know how to do it, and he asked me, he says, yeah, I need you to save me. And I'm like, well, that's there we go. I can't do it. And I can't save you. So I'm kind of going over, basically what you need to do. It's real simple. Three main things, And I'm like, we can do this. I can literally just tell you what to say. You say it, you repeat it. As long as you're in this, you mean it. You're saying this with your heart. That's all we got to do. He will come into your heart. So I'm saying these things. He's repeating them. When we get to the end, come on, man. This is the best decision you've made. This is it. You're saved. Jesus now has you written the book of life. And I'm talking to him. I'm just like, man, I got to be real, though. Everybody thinks that life is real easy. You're saved. It's not. People think Christians got an easy life, and it's difficult.
We go through struggles. We go through trials. It's part of it, but you got to always continue pressing forward. You got to stay in the Word. You got to talk to Him. You got to be involved. You got to be engaged. And and as I'm telling him this, it's just like, it's just like Jesus was just like, man, you're not doing any of that. You're not engaged. You're not doing any of this. How can you tell him that? And, that's not what she's saying. That's what I'm thinking, right? That's me. That's my mind telling me that. You're not doing any of that. You're not engaged. You're not pressing forward. You're not spending time with me. You're not praying, you're not, reading, you're not doing anything. And I wasn't. But literally, I was so happy my cousin was saved, right? But at the same time, I was just like, I've been so unworthy. I've been so just, I didn't even deserve that, right? But he used my cousin. They hadn't even really had a relationship with him. He used him to get back to me. So my cousin getting saved literally saved me. And that was it. That was Jesus telling me that I needed to move from Mount Sinai and press forward. Get re-engaged, and yeah, I mean, that was awesome.
So let's think about God. We would think God would be like, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve to lead that person in prayer. But what what really happened here, Odie needed that prayer as much as his cousin needed that prayer. God's not looking at your perfection, but your availability. And if you're available today, if you know and realize, and I want him to stand up here with me, because there are some people here in this room today just where Odie is. And you know God's telling you the truth. You come, you're faithful, but many times you're not engaged. And through the week, you're not engaged. And then sometimes, if we're not careful, we can blame our lack of engagement, our lack of desire and fire on a preacher or a pastor or a praise team or the length of services or this or that. We can get a religious list and make it and blame all those things. But listen, I'm responsible for pouring the word into you. You're responsible for taking that word and applying it to the next level. Amen? I can't make you. We can preach a fired up word and it's awesome. But you got to do something with it. You got to do something with it. And today, this is a new year. This is a new year, a new time. And how awesome is God? I think God is so cool to the level I can't even begin to understand and comprehend how great that God is, that God masterpieced that situation because he knew one of his sons just needed to move away from the mountain and move on up. Amen? Do you need to move away from the mountain today and to keep moving forward in this 2020 year? Then right now, even though we're into it, 11 or 12 days, we're into it. Then today, make it your heart's desire. Make it a heart point that, God, I'm going to move forward in my faith this year. I'm going to move forward in my deepness with you. I'm tired of just the shallow experience. I want to get deeper in the word. I want to get deeper in worship. I want to get deeper in my communion, my fellowship, my relationship with you. I want to go deeper. I just don't want to see you every now and then, Lord. I believe I'm ready for a long-term relationship, Lord. I'm ready. How about you? Are you ready for a long-term relationship with Jesus? Or are you just satisfied with courting him every now and then? I don't want to court him. I want to one day be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. I want to be there. Ooh. And today you can be. So today, I'm going to ask Odie here, and I'm going to ask anyone else to get ready to come, get ready to pray, because there are people here today that need to go forward in their faith. So let's just slip our heads down just a second, and let's just concentrate. For just a moment, let's just reflect. I think the Holy Spirit's been having you reflect all through this service. So today, I need to move forward. Whoa! I need to move forward. I need to move forward. I need to move up. I need to go further. And today, are you here? Are you here today and you need to move away from the mountain. You need to keep moving ahead and moving up, moving forward. I'm going to ask you to be real with me. And you'll say, Pastor R, that I am going to be as real as I know how to be real. What was shared this morning and what Odie shared this morning especially has really resonated in my heart. And I know that I've got room to move ahead and move up. If that's you, just slip your hand up with mine all over this room. Be